Hi, this is Jamie Crawford, worldwide evangelist with Breakthrough Ministries, pastor of Epicenter Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Thanks for downloading our Wow God podcast. Make sure to subscribe to get our latest podcast. We appreciate your partnership. It helps keep our ministry going. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
Let's look at Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 19. And he, Jesus, saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. I mean, he's talking to a group of fishermen. He's getting on their level. And he said, if you just follow me, I'll show you how to catch fish. I'll show you how to catch men for the kingdom. I'll show you. You know, when we follow Jesus, Jesus will show us the way, the truth, and the life. He'll show us how to lead somebody to the Lord. He'll show us how to be that witness to somebody. See, so many times it's not in what we say, it's in what we do. It's in what we do. It's how we present ourselves. Because the Bible says they know you by your fruits. Do you realize we have a lot of fruit inspectors out there? And they're finding out to see if you're actually a Christian or not. Especially whenever you say, hey, I go to church. They're waiting for you to slip up. Especially that one at work. They're waiting for you to slip up. They're waiting for you to get mad. But the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. You know, when Jesus spoke that, it showed me if we get in this word right here, it will just change us from the inside out. And it will make us that fisherman of men. It'll make us want somebody else to know Jesus. I don't know about you, but whenever I first got saved, Miss Candy Reeves told me, sitting in my little Mustang, told me, now that I led you to the Lord, go tell somebody. And they said, she said, be prepared when you tell somebody, you may be that one, that may be that one that you're going to lead to the Lord right then and there. And you know what happened that night? I was deciding, who am I going to go tell? It's late at night. And I went and told one of my best friends that I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And guess what he said? He started crying just like I was crying. And he said, I want that same Jesus. And I said, you know what? I'm going to lead you in the same prayer that I prayed at El Reno, Oklahoma, in the McDonald's drive-thru. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And that's exactly what I did that night. And that night, I became a soul winner. Come on. How many know you can be a soul winner? The Bible says in Revelation, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When we begin to testify about the goodness of God. See, you know what you're doing? You're spreading out seed. When you testify, you're spreading out seed. You encourage somebody by the word of your testimony. When you begin to share the gospel of what God has done for you. My shared today how God has blessed her. She was sharing that with me today, how God has blessed her. You know what? It encouraged me because if God did it for her, God can do it for me. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God just wants you to know he can turn your situation around, but you've got to be encouraged by other believers. That's why we come to church. Amen? That's why people ask, why do we go to church? Well, we come together so that we can assemble together, that we can be together, and we can just build up each other's faith. I'm here to build somebody's faith up today and let you know you can be that witness. You can be that soul winner. Amen. You can reach people that we can't reach. Hallelujah. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. I mean, the moment it just like got in my blood whenever I led that man to the Lord that night after I got saved, it got in me. It's like if I can lead my best friend to the Lord, I can lead somebody else to the Lord. Amen. I can lead a stranger to the Lord. I mean, every time I'm with my father-in-law, if we go in to a store or wherever we're at, you know what he's doing? He's witnessing to everybody he comes in contact with. I mean, he tells if he goes to the hospital, he's telling somebody about Jesus. Come on, kids, am I right? That's your grandpa. I mean, and he's not afraid of it. I mean, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And so as I share this word, I mean, he's not afraid to share the gospel with anybody. Now that's my father-in-law. Now, my dad is a very quiet man. He's probably watching this right now wondering what I'm about to say about him. But can I tell you something about my dad? He's the quiet one. Very quiet. But probably one of the most powerful men I've ever met. Not just because he's my dad, but because he reached somebody that was unreachable. Come on, are you with me today? He reached somebody that was unreachable. What had happened is my dad got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost at a Pentecostal Holiness church, and they were in revival. And so my quiet dad invited his boss to church. And guess what? The quiet little man that said, hey, would you just come to church with me? Ended up bringing his boss to church. And not only his boss, but his boss's wife. And that night, his boss got saved, got delivered. Come on, are you with me today? I'm talking about a man that had been in alcoholism all of his life and got saved that night. He got delivered, got totally set free. Why? Because there was a quiet man that had a change in his heart that invited somebody that would be impossible to get into church because he was an alcoholic. How are they going to accept me in church? But whenever you friend somebody and you invite that friend to church, you know what? They feel comfort by saying, hey, I get accept by him. I get accept by David today. I get accept by that. And he brought him to church. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God came upon this man. The anointing came upon this man. Not only the anointing came upon him, but the call of God came upon this man. You never know who you're witnessing to. You never know who you're reaching. You could be reaching the next Billy Graham. Come on, are you with me today? So winning. My dad ended up leading this man to the Lord. He ended up going to that church. This man him and his wife began to go to that church. And as they went to that church, they just were so hungry for God. I mean, God took the taste of alcohol out of him, but put the new wine in him. You know why? Because he had a new wine skin. The old was gone and the new was beginning. God set him totally free. He got so hungry for the word, he began to dive into the word. And next thing you know, he ended up teaching Sunday school. The Sunday school class got so big and people were coming just for his Sunday school class. The pastor, with a humble heart, came to him and said, listen, the Lord told me you're supposed to be the pastor. And he stepped down. And this man took over. And the church exploded. They ended up having to move from the church that they were at to a new church. It was an old church, but God gave him a vision for that church. And when God gave him the vision for that church, he took it to the old pastor, which was a carpenter. I'm just telling you what God can do, church. The old pastor was a carpenter. He takes the blueprints into the old pastor and said, hey, I feel like we're supposed to move into this church, but this is how I want it designed. And the old pastor came up to him, went back to his office, got into his filing cabinet, pulled out a blueprint that matched his blueprint of this. Can I tell you how God moves? How God and all did it all in a small little town called Kingfisher. To God be the glory. And that man was a soul winner for Jesus. I don't know how many people he led to the Lord and is still leading to the Lord. I don't know how many demons he's casted out of people. He had a gift just to be able to drive out the demon of alcoholism out of people and drive it right out. I'm telling you. And it all happened because a quiet little man, Edward Crawford, went to work and invited this man to church. It changed Kingfisher. I was that guy's youth pastor at one time. Amen? Why? Because one person. I mean, you may say, hey, I may not be like William Williams that will talk to everybody I come in contact with about Jesus, but I may come in contact with that one person. One contact can change everybody's life. Can change their destiny. And that's becoming a soul winner for Jesus. Just one invite for somebody to come to church to sit by you. That's what happened to me, Frank. One person called. I'd never been to church in my life. And one person came up to me and Grandpa Cerny. He was the grandpa. I called him the grandpa of the town of Kingfisher. And he invited me to come to church, and I came. You know why? He saved me a seat. Come on, when's the last time you invited somebody and said, hey, I'm going to save you a seat? Because that person you invite, well, they'll never come to church. Well, they won't if you don't ask them. Maybe you're that one that's prodding that person. Maybe you're not the one that's going to lead them to the Lord. But whenever somebody comes up here like Cassie and begins to give a testimony of how God has touched her through her anxiety, and God has blessed her through it, and is healing her through it, maybe that's what somebody's going through, is they're going through the same thing she's going through. Come on. And God has set them free right here. Why? Because this is a healing pool. The church is a healing pool. We got to dive into the pool. Come on, it's deep. I know it's deep. I heard the prayer warriors today. They were reaching heaven, and heaven was reaching them. I was looking at the door to see if it was on fire. But we've got to become a soul winner. Why? Number one, there is joy of soul winning. There's such joy in winning souls for the kingdom. There's such joy, the joy of soul winning, when we lead one person to the Lord. So many times we get so caught up in the world. It's like that testimony I shared with you in Colorado, how I went into Sam's Club and I run across the honey, and I'm looking for the right honey for my mother and father-in-law. Honey as in bees and honeys, not... Just want to clarify that. I was in the club, Sam's Club, looking for honey. And I come across this guy that makes barbecue sauce out of honey. And next thing you know, he's talking about his barbecue sauce and pickles that he makes. And next thing you know, I go to his work and I'm ended up leading. I'm not there for the barbecue sauce and pickles. I'm there to lead him to the Lord. Amen. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. No matter what we're going through, all we got to do is testify. All we got to do is be that witness. You never know whose life you're going to change. You never know. So the joy of soul winning in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And he, Jesus, said, "Follow me and I will make you fishermen of men." There's a joy in going out and casting the net on Oklahoma City to draw people to come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west to become that soul winner for Jesus. I don't know if you get anything out of this today. I pray you go out and lead somebody to the Lord or direct them to the Lord. Bring them into the house so that they can inherit salvation. Because he wants us to be fishermen of men. Because there's a joy in winning souls. Number two. The soul winner has joy because he brings great glory to God. We have great joy when we lead somebody to the Lord because it brings glory to the Father. It brings great joy to the Father when we lead one person to the Lord. Can I tell you something? Heaven shakes when somebody gets saved. The Bible says heaven shakes. Why does it shake? Because there's angels in heaven that rejoice over one soul. Amen? We've got to become soul winners. How are we going to see the church grow if we don't win somebody to the Lord? Come on, they're going to come in from the north, the south, east, and west. How do we pray for them? God, bring them in. Draw them in by your Holy Spirit. Draw them in. Maybe you have a loved one right now that you need to see get saved. They need to get saved. They need to get delivered. They need to get healed. They could be the next Bob Schaefer. That's the guy that my dad was able to bring to church. They could be the next Pastor Bob. And everybody know them. Amen. Hallelujah. The soul winner has joy because he brings great glory to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We got to glorify God. We got to start thanking him for the souls that you're about to lead to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, you got to remember back to when Jesus came into your heart. Come on, I tell you my testimony all the time. Think back of when Jesus came into your heart, how he changed your life, how he brought you out of the pit. Everything was overwhelming you, and you was ready to give up. You was ready to throw in the towel. Maybe some of you was ready to commit suicide. I don't know what it might have been, but God. Come on, Big Tex, help me out. But God can turn it all around. And if he can do it for you, he can do it for somebody else. That one that you're witnessing to, that one that you're... It might be the one that makes you mad when you go to work, or that customer, or that boss, whoever it might be. Bob was my dad's boss, and my dad ended up leading him to the church so that he could get saved, he could get delivered, he could get healed. I had a boss just that. I didn't think he'd ever go to church. But I kept inviting him. I kept inviting him. And Pastor Steve was in Kingfisher preaching a 5-week revival. And the very first day, it was so powerful. I'm like, I told my boss, I'm like, you got to come. You got to come to this revival. I counted it up. I invited that man 35 times. Every time I got on the phone, I invited him to church. The very last night of the revival, Iris and I are sitting in church. And all of a sudden, my boss walks in. His wife followed him, and his daughter followed them. They came into church. I remember Pastor Steve. You know how Pastor Steve was, man. He walking all over the place. He just talking, and he just stopped, you know. And he was just all over the place. And finally, he stopped, and he looked at this guy. And he goes, man, you're like an eagle. Your head just bobbing back and forth. You're following me everywhere I go. Next thing you know, Pastor Steve ends up leading not just him, but his wife and his daughter to Jesus. Hallelujah. If I was the one that would have went to him and said, hey, you need to get right with Jesus, he'd have just pushed me away. But you know what happened? I invited him to church, and I got him into the presence of God. He got into the presence of God. Then he got convicted, and it wasn't me that did it. All I did is invite him. All you had to do is invite that one and watch God. You be sitting in church, and they walk right through them doors. And then when you see them walk in through them doors, you say, I got your seat right here. Been waiting for you. And they'll come in, they'll sit, and you know what you become? You become a soul winner. Even though you didn't grab their hands and lead them to Jesus right there, you led them into the presence of the Almighty, and God did the work. Come on, sometimes we got to let God do the work. Still, we get all mad that they're not getting saved. They're not listening to a word you're saying. I mean, you're planting all these seeds, then you ruin it. Have you ever done that? I'm sure I ruined it several times with that boss. That's why I couldn't lead him to the Lord, but I could get him into the house of God just by inviting him. Come on, think of somebody right. Think of 5 people right now you can invite to church. And you can become that soul winner. The soul winner has joy because he brings great glory. You bring great glory to God whenever you bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Number 3, the soul winner gives people the greatest gift. The greatest gift you could give anybody is by just leading them to Jesus. That student that's next to you, or at school, I mean, you could be that witness to them. You could be that witness. Each one of us can be that witness. But a soul winner gives people the greatest gift. It was the greatest gift when Jesus came into my life because I was in a pit. Come on, think of when you was in a pit and Jesus got you out of that pit. Kind of like Peter when he was out on the boat and he started looking to the right and he started looking to the left and he started sinking. What did Jesus do? Jesus just reached down his hand and picked him up. Come on, some of you today, you may know somebody that's sinking right now. Maybe you're sinking right now. Jesus wants you to know, I'm just ready to reach down my hand. I'm about to pick you up. Let me say it this way. I'm about to pick you up out of your disbelief. Because Peter was in disbelief because he looked to his right and he looked to his left and he saw the storms coming in. And what happened when he saw the storms, he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. There's so many Christians out there right now. They need to get reborn again. We need to get reborn again and get that fire back inside of us again. I mean, whenever I got saved, I used to wear witness, wear t-shirts every day. All the time. One of my favorite ones, Coach, was this. It was a t-shirt of a toilet. And it said, flush the flesh. That was one of my favorite ones. And that's what we need to do as believers. We need to flush the flesh. And we need to become a soul winner for Jesus. We need to become a soul winner for Jesus. Why? Because it brings great, that's the greatest gift that we can give somebody, is by being that witness, by leading somebody to Jesus. In James chapter number 5 and verse number 20, the Bible says, he who converts a sinner from his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Two great things are accomplished by winning the lost. You save a soul from death, and you hit the reset button on all their sins. Why? Because the blood of Jesus washes it all away. All the condemnation, all the fear, all the doubt, all the disbelief gets wiped away that moment. That's why when you see people come to Jesus, something happens. Something happens on the inside of them. I've seen it time and time again. We were in Amarillo, Texas, and you know, sometimes the Bible, in the Word of God, the Bible says, sometimes you got to see the miracles before you can believe. We were praying for a lady, young lady over in Amarillo, Texas. And this young lady come down because she needed a healing in her body. It was like fire all over her. And God was healing her body. And it was like as soon as the Lord healed her body, the first thing I said was, now you need Jesus in your heart. She just burst into tears. She said, yes, I do. She accepted the Lord. Why? Because she got saved, delivered, and healed right there on that moment. But it didn't come the way we always think it's going to come. She got healed before she got saved. When you get in the presence of God, God will bring in the anointing, and it will destroy every yoke of bondage. And when you get into His presence, the anointing, it will remove all of the fear, all of the sickness out of your body. And then all of a sudden, it gives you a clear mind. So you can accept the Lord into your heart. And that's exactly what happened to that woman. God gave her a clear mind so that she could accept the Lord into her life. To God be the glory. He heals the multitude of sins. Number four. The soul winner will experience great gladness in his own heart. It's not that we get all the credit and all the glory, but it brings great gladness in our heart when we see that one, especially that one you've been praying for years. God, bring him to know you. Bring him to know you, Lord Jesus. You've been praying for him for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden there's a turnaround. And it brings great gladness in our heart when we see the turnaround in somebody's life. You know why? Because they talk different. They don't talk like they used to. Because when you get God in your life, it changes everything. It changes your language. Come on, it'll change your whole language. It'll change everything about you. But we've got to have that burning desire to want to lead souls to the kingdom. When Tiffany and I went to Kenya, Africa, I'll never forget walking into the sanctuary of Bishop Isaac's church in the Mumbali Praise Center. And the one thing that caught my eye in that church, it wasn't the floor, it wasn't the stage, it wasn't the speakers, it wasn't the pulpit, but it was a big sign that was above the stage that said, "Think souls." It said, "Think souls." Because when you start thinking about souls, it'll put a compassion in your heart for the lost, for the homeless, for that one that, you know, may have had to sleep right here on our sidewalk out here. I mean, we've seen it happen where they've slept right here on our sidewalk. I mean, we never know who we're going to reach right there, the homeless, the one that you go by. We've seen them come in on a Good Friday service. They came in. I remember he came in and he sat on the very back row. Steve Throckmorton was preaching that night. When he got in the presence of God, he got relaxed. Come on, something happens when you get into the presence of God. You know what ended up happening? Most people saw him sleeping and thinking, well, that's kind of rude. But you know what? That's probably the best sleep he ever got. And it's because somebody welcomed him in. You guys welcomed him in. Said, come on in. Pam and Rick, hey, come on in. We got a place for you to sit. Miss Debbie, come on in. We got a place for you to sit. You can stick around for service. And guess what happened? There was so much peace that came on his life. See, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. Can I just speak that over you today? You may be down to nothing today, but God is up to something. He wants us to become soul winners for the kingdom. It's okay you bring him in. We want him here. Hallelujah. That might be our next associate pastor. I don't know. It might be our next missionary that leaves Epicenter to go into the highways and the byways. To God be the glory. The soul winner will experience great gladness in his own heart. In Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 7, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One person, the Bible says there's 10,000 angels that rejoice over one person. You know what made me want to be a soul winner the most? It's whenever I lost a loved one. And I'll never forget, Iris and I, we met a man by the name of Gary Wood. And this man had passed away when he was a young man. He was in a car accident. And he went to heaven. And he spent time in heaven. His best friend was in heaven. And he walked him around heaven. And all of a sudden, this group of people in heaven gathered together. And they were celebrating. And I'll never forget Gary telling me this. He said, I asked my best friend, what are they doing? And they said they just had a loved one give their heart to Jesus. And then he saw the angel going into this big library, pulling down a book with red ink pen. And he said he saw them erasing right by their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, right by all their sin. He washed it all away. He said, I visually saw that. And ever since he said that, it's just stirred inside of me. I just got to win one more to Jesus. Because when I win one more to Jesus, my mama that's in heaven, my brother that's in heaven will hear that their son and their brother down on earth has led another one to Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I don't know about you, but I want to shake heaven for the kingdom of God, because it brings great joy in my spirit when I lead one more to the Lord. That's all I want to say is one more, God, one more. One more. When we left Amarillo, I said, God, one more, God. One more. We led many people to the Lord in Amarillo. And I was just like, God, one more. One more soul. One more soul for the kingdom. You know what we need to say today? One more soul, God. Point number five. The soul winner will inherit the greatest reward in heaven. My dad didn't lead a whole bunch of people to the Lord. He's still alive. But he led that one person into church that has changed many people's lives. Many people's lives. Guess what? He's a part of that. You might not be that one that's leading many people to the Lord, but you might have led that one person in. They got saved, and they're out winning souls for the kingdom. They might be missionaries, and they're out leading souls for the kingdom. Guess what? You're part of that. You might not have let somebody in, but you may have been in that prayer room, and you may be praying for somebody to come in. Guess what? You're a part of that. You called them in when nobody else wanted to call them in. You called them in. You came to prayer conference and you called them in. And they came in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Trust me, it happens. When you call to the north, the south, east, and west, it happens. We were pastoring our first church over in Bethesda in Okarchi, Oklahoma. And that Wednesday night, we prayed to the north, the south, the east, and west that God would bring them in. And I said, God, bring them in as far as North Carolina. Next day, I'm in my office, and I hear a knock at the door. So I go to the door, coach. And when I go to the door, this guy comes to the door, and it's hot. He's sweating. He said, Frank, he said, I just need something to drink. Do you have something to drink? I said, yes. So I went in. I grabbed something to drink. I grabbed him a bottle of water. I come back into the foyer, and he's standing there, and he starts to drink that water, just sipping on the water. And I said, what brings you here? And he said, I don't know, but I just left my wife. And I got in the van, and I just started driving. And I hadn't stopped till I got here. See, I thought he'd come in for a drink of water. He was coming in for the living water. He said, I left my wife, and now I'm here. I said, sir, can I pray for you? I ended up praying for him. The anointing of God fell on him. I didn't have ushers that day. He, wham, he hit the floor. He was out. The anointing hit him. When he got up, he looked at me and he said, Pastor, thank you. I feel like I've had a weight lifted off. I'm going back to my wife. He gave me a hug, got in his van. And so I went outside, David, to find out, you know, what he was doing, what he came in. And his car's on his way out of the parking lot. And I looked at the license plate and it said, North Carolina. To God be the glory. He hit his turning point. When you're calling to the north, the south, east, and west, you're hitting somebody's turning point. And God's going to bring them in. Whether it's this church or another church, God's going to bring them in. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and chapter number 3 and verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. God says, get ready. There's a great reward about to come. There's a great reward about to come. to the church. God is about to bring people in from the north, the south, east, and the west. Just like he changed you, he's going to change them. When Maya came in, she came in because God told her to come. Hallelujah. Never met Maya before, but she said, the Lord told me I'm supposed to come here, and you're supposed to pray over me. I'm going to be healed. That's exactly what she told me. And that's exactly what happened. She had a tumor under her tooth. That's what the doctor said. But God, we prayed the prayer of faith over her because she believed. And she was ready to receive. She, you know what she did? She hit that turning point. You know why? Because there was a couple in her neighborhood by the name of Pam and Rick Hughes. They kept telling her about this little church by Crest. Just come one time. God will change your life. You know what she did? She came with a need. And when she came with that need, God turned it all around. We even got the video of her testimony. Watch God moment. How God healed her body. She had the but God experience. To God be the glory. And you know what? She's been back ever since. Every Sunday. She's always here. To God be the glory. And guess what? She's a witness everywhere she goes. Why? She's got a testimony. See, when you go through a test, David, you're going to have a testimony. Because when you encounter God, whether it's salvation or whether it's a healing, any experience you have with God, you will never forget it. You will never forget it. You may think you do, but you won't. It'll always be in your memory. It'll always be deep down in your memory. We need to become soul winners for Jesus.
Thanks for listening. We hope you will stay connected by subscribing to our podcast and becoming a partner to our ministry. Go to BreakthroughEvangelism.com for our evangelism ministries and EpicenterChurchOK.com to connect with our church. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms. We want you to be blessed.